The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, James and Betty remind us that we need to rely on God's Word to change our hearts before we preach to others.
I think as Christians, sometimes we turn people off from Christ, from His love and His caring and how much He loves them because of our attitudes, James, because of our judgmentalism. And so I think we have to look now and say, God, change me first and then let me be a light to the person that's in that darkness. Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James, and I think you're really going to be a specially blessed day.
Oh, I love you.
I'm going to ask you,
by the way, I'm going to share with you, so get something we can at least write down these references. I'm going to share with you the verses of Scripture that God literally led me, not because I was some Bible student. When God called me to preach, He just jerked the shyest guy on the planet up and said, "You're going to preach." And I'm thinking, I can't even talk to people. Well, He got me to memorize some verses. I'm going to tell you what they are. And these verses, I didn't even realize until, I don't know, in the last years, just how those verses impacted not only my ministry at the beginning, but still do right now. And what the Lord has impressed on me is that if I'll share those with you and you memorize them, they could have the same effect. It may be that for a while, I'll just kind of keep building on someone. Could even, if you write questions about something you learned or you were learning or you were something happened inside you wanted to tell and ask if I'd develop it more, well, we will. But I want you to write this down. But I want to start, Betty, asking, just asking you a question. When I closed the message earlier in the week, I made the reference to the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving, those who don't believe in God. So He blinds them, He deceives them, and He defeats them, and He will ultimately destroy them, but He will use them, these blind people who are spiritually blind to reality and truth. They don't even realize what's happening. And He says, the blind lead the blind into the ditch. And the ditch is defeat and debt and despair and depression and destruction, dissension, division, hatred, animosity, and crazy actions. Okay, if we see a blind person, we should have compassion on them, right?
Right.
We should pray the God who is able will open their eyes, but you have to ask Him to. He doesn't force His ways on us. He didn't make puppets and robots. He made people with a free will to choose who they serve. All right? So a blind person has to want to be healed, and they have to turn to the one who can heal him, and that's God. And in the spiritual realm, the only one who can change us from the blindness of spiritual activity is God, who is spirit and power and who wants to be our Father. So we as compassionate Christians should pray for God to heal the eyes of the blind and open them. And we're the ones, if we walk in the power of God's Spirit, can help open the eyes. Okay, so we're praying for the eyes of the blind to be open. Would you say, as a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, would you say that it looks like there are blind people leading this nation in many ways, and it is leading us into a ditch of defeat and division and destruction?
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. And, you know, I think also it's the enemy taking control. He wants people to be all sane, no individuality. And God created us to be different. But yet our world is becoming, well, you got to talk like this, you got to look like this, you got to do this, you got to do that, or we're just going to put you down, we're going to shame you. So we live in shame, and we're afraid to look to the right or to the left, James. But God created us to be different, but to be one in His Spirit. And I think that's the difference that we can make. We don't go around judging people because they can't see, like you said. You know, recently, a year ago, I had eye surgery. Right. I had to look face down for 2 weeks. Well, I couldn't get around too easily.
It's
like
24
that.
Hours a day,
like
7
that.
Days a week.
I
face
needed
down.
Some help getting every place I needed to get up or get around to do to anything. You had to wait on me. Well, if you'd have said, well, you just do it yourself, you know, you can do it. Come on, come on, come on, you know, that would not have helped me heal in any way. It would have caused me to draw back and say, well, he doesn't love me, he doesn't care. I think as Christians, sometimes we turn people off from Christ, from his love and his caring and how much he loves them because of our attitudes, James, because of our judgmentalism. And so I think we have to look now and say, God, change me first and then let me be a light to the person that's in that darkness.
Yeah, and when you see the blind leading the blind and they're all headed into the ditch, if you have concern, you should be concerned about everybody that's ending up in the ditch. And you should be praying for blind eyes to be open, but you can still show them the damage that's being done by leading people into this ditch. But Betty, the only thing that can make the difference are the Christian people so full of the Spirit. Think about it. We may be persecuted. We may be stepped on. We're not to go off and live in monasteries or our little spiritual camps together. That's not what we're looking for. We need to be lights on the lampstand. We need to be together like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden because that light cannot be and will not be covered. That's how we're supposed to live. But what if they did to us what they did to these New Testament Christians? What if they did throw us in prison? You know what I find myself saying? God, the book of Acts shows us people living in kingdom reality and kingdom power. And when Paul and Silas went into Philippi and they set a woman free that was demon-possessed and she was making a lot of money for the city and a lot of demonic activities making money, everything from pornography to drugs to all the things that can distract, all the rotten entertainment. Look at how ugly and awful the entertainment is when you look at the award shows. Look at what it's doing to people. It's so sad. Okay, when you see what the enemy's doing, it should break our hearts. And only the Lord can stop that. That's what he wants to do. In the book of Acts, when they threw Paul and Silas in prison because they stopped the worldly crowd from making more money off a demon-possessed woman, they're in prison. They're in stocks. What did they do? They sang praises to God. Why? Because you can't take away somebody's freedom by just putting them in a prison cell. Paul spent years of freedom in prison in Rome, wrote the majority of the New Testament in the power of the Spirit. So he said, look, I'm delivering the gospel even to those of Caesar's household. I'm winning these people. Well, Paul and Silas in jail, they started singing praises to God. We're still free. And all of a sudden, God just threw the doors open. That's what we want him to do. God, we're going to praise you no matter what the world's trying to do to us. We're going to stand against the danger of that blindness and that deception, but we're going to praise you because we're free and you can't take that away from us. God threw the prison doors open. This jailer was so afraid he thought they were going to escape and he'd be put to death and tortured. He took a broadsword. It wasn't a little fencing sword. He was going to kill himself. He was desperate to die and not be tortured by the government. And you know what happened? Paul said, don't do anything. He said, we're free. We're on stocks. We're free. We're here. We're right here. Free here. He said, what must I do to be like you? And they led him to Christ. And that jailer goes down Main Street, taking these prisoners with him, right to his house, gets his household saved, people get saved, and Philippi became the one church that kept giving to the greatest missionary that ever lived, Paul the Apostle. He said, you alone, time and again, sent to my need. Betty, that's the kind of people God's raising up out here. I mean, I'm watching him, and we're getting God's arms around the world. We're going to see God shake these powers if we'll just live in the fullness of His Spirit. All right, get your pen and pad. I want you to write down the verses that I memorized when God called me to preach. And you remember on all our dates.
I do.
You know, we like to kiss. You remember me telling you after I got called to preach and I said, close, I said, Betty, I'm not even going to kiss you anymore.
I did.
I said, it might cause me to, you know how stuff can you get a little lust. And what did you say when I said, I'm not going to kiss you? What did you say?
I was kind of hurt.
You said just once?
Yeah.
That's what you said.
That's
you
right. Remember I remember that.
Just once? No. You say, why'd you do that, James? I just didn't want anything to distract me from Jesus. All right, listen to the verses. On our dates, I would quote these. You'd sit there and hold the Bible.
I did.
and I'd quote them, right?
You did.
I got them down pretty good.
We did it every day.
I'm telling you, if you'd memorize these, because, see, God's taken me back to it, and I'm going to point some things out that he's showing me now about the revelation of the kingdom that people just didn't seem to get, even when Jesus was teaching his own guys. They didn't seem to get it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Memorize it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when I was reading that, I thought this would probably think he didn't memorize it. You know, I've gotten a little older. I might have missed a word or two, but I want you to get that. If you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, it's the least you can do because of all his mercies. And you won't be shaped by the world, even the religious world. You'll be conformed by the power of God and his truth. And you'll know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You can live in goodwill, acceptable, but how about perfect? Memorize that. This is really an important one. I am going to read it. I've got it memorized. I want to read it. I want to read it because I'm going to pause on some phrases. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Now, the first ones was Romans 12, 1 and 2. Write them down. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made of himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a, put in all caps, servant. Took upon himself, King of kings, Lord of lords, God. God with us. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Who did Jesus say is greatest in the kingdom? Who, Betty, is greatest in the kingdom? Servant. You do remember that?
I do.
Servant.
Servant.
Have we not seen the most magnificent servants all over the world? Have we not seen them right out here who watch and say, let us serve by helping them do what God's called them to do? That's kingdom life. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Someday every tongue will. Someday every knee will bow. You can determine to let your knee bow now and confess him as Lord of lords and King of kings. And then if you want to be greatest in this kingdom, the kingdom has come, and the king is in us. You become a servant. Greatest in the kingdom is servant. I'm 77 years old. Jesus made another profound statement that becomes even bigger to me even as I get older. The little children, suffer them to come to me. Don't send them away. I want to hold them. He made another statement concerning children, of such is the kingdom of heaven. I'm 77. Betty, I believe I have a more childlike, I have a lot of convictions, a lot of strength, a lot of boldness, a lot of courage, deep convictions. I believe I'm more teachable than I've ever been. Would you agree?
I do.
Do you feel like you're becoming more teachable?
I hope so. I really do.
Did you have a problem with being a teachable spirit?
I kind of did. You had to help me with that a little bit.
But didn't one of our children even said, maybe God's trying to teach you something, Mom, because they'd heard you say you sometimes are unteachable.
That's right.
Well, you know, when they see that pretty smile, they don't think you're ever unteachable. But you can be pretty tough, right?
I could be pretty stubborn.
Here's the deal. If we'll all become like a child and be teachable. Let me give you another passage. Write it down. I'm looking here to see how much time I got. Okay, now we got to go quick. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. Boy, this was important. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Betty, we watched entire high schools get saved. Do you realize Mike Huckabee's told people about this so many times he saw it? We had so many people saved in one city in Tennessee that the football team were state champions. They didn't want to go to the game on Friday night. The cheerleaders didn't go. The band didn't go. and it was a home game. The band and the cheerleaders came to the revival. I had already told the football players, go to the game. I made the cheerleaders get up out of the crowd, go to the game. I said, go get your cheerleading outfit on. You may get there late, but go to the game. I made all the band members get up and leave. You say, James, how in the world could that happen? The faith that came to those kids was so transforming and so powerful that they counted everything but loss for the surpassing value of knowing him. And the birth of the Spirit in them was so great, it overwhelmed them. Nothing else seemed to matter. I told him it does matter to take those responsibilities at the school. When your faith stands not in the wisdom of man, but the power of God, everything changes. We've watched so many things happen. We've watched entire cities change, schools change. Listen to this. Very important. Boy, this is a biggie. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of what you'll speak, for it will be given you in that same hour. You'll know what you speak. For it will not be you that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaks in you. I can tell you things God told me to speak to leaders that became nation-changing. Literally, that's not an exaggeration. That's not some vain boasting. What they heard was so from God that it changed everything, and when they said it, it impacted a nation. I've watched that. God will tell you how to witness to people. God will tell you how to approach them. You may be caught in difficult situations, but you walk in the fullness of Spirit, He'll tell you what to say. 2 Corinthians 8:9, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. That's the verse I sign if I sign a Bible. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Here's the last one. Philippians 3:8-14. Doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, rubbish, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. This is the reason I'm doing it. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I'll weep when He weeps. I'll weep over what He weeps over. I'll flow with compassion. Oh, that my head, my waters, and my eyes, a fountain of tears. Jeremiah said that I could weep day and night for the people who are suffering. And then if by any means I can attain the resurrection of the dead. That's in life now, not just in the final time. Not as though I already attained it, either already perfect, but I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto the things which are before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Next year, I would have been preaching 60 years. I'm still pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Betty, for us, I believe right now, it's to live in the power and reality of His kingdom. When we lose our life in His kingdom purpose, we find it. Father, I pray those who listen today will take the time to meditate on these verses. And I pray that Your word will have a transforming effect on them, as it not only did on me as a teenager, but as it continues to. And let us all discover the joy of being kingdom servants. In Jesus' name. We love you. I hope you enjoy these times together. And if you'll meditate on these scriptures, I think God's going to do some deep work in your life. And as a result of it, He's going to do a deep work in the lives of others. Betty, we're going to let our viewers listen to Peter Pretorius' son, Esau. Right now, Esau's going to be talking to you about the horrible floods in South Sudan. It is so dangerous and so deadly in Sudan, many mission groups will not stay. Our missionaries do. They risk their lives to save lives, and you keep them there. we need to rebuild some clinics. This is the last point at which life can be saved. The floods destroyed them. We need a miracle, two miracles. We need to feed 350,000 kids for the next month. $30, $50, $100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children for the next month. But we need to rebuild 16 of these emergency clinics. I'm asking you, be a part of that miracle, nearly $400,000, $24,000 each. I'm asking you, please, could you give 1,000? It'd be wonderful if 400 of you would, $1,000. Perhaps you could build a clinic, 24,000 plus. Father, just lead your people. Listen to this wonderful missionary, but hear God, please, and do what he says.
In South Sudan, we're experiencing levels of need that are not just at crisis levels, they're the worst that we've ever experienced. Some of that has been caused by the worst flooding in recorded history to hit that nation. Close to 1 million people that were permanently displaced, lost absolutely everything. Our programs have been directly impacted. Our malnutrition clinics, 16 of them totally destroyed.
Over the past several years, Life's missionary partners have established numerous small malnutrition clinics strategically located in the most rural areas of South Sudan. These clinics serve as a last haven of hope for thousands of families who are unable to travel longer distances to a clinic in a city. As the record-breaking floods subside at the destroyed clinics, the missionary staff continue to try and help as many malnourished children as possible. But the resulting food crisis is creating an even greater need for these rural malnutrition clinics to be rebuilt.
We have to continue to reach out to the communities in South Sudan that have been so desperately impacted. We have to be able to continue the malnutrition response as part of the mission feeding programs. It is the most critical component of our mission feeding programs. Those malnutrition clinics, that malnutrition response is literally the barrier that stands at death's door and saves those children's lives. But we cannot continue those programs without you. And that is why I'm asking you today, please dip deep inside of your hearts and give the very best gift that you can give. You will enable us to rebuild those clinics and to save those lives. We cannot do it without you.
Well, I just thank you for, I thank you for the fact that you're still watching. Because Betty, anybody watching now has got to have the love of God in their heart enough to say, I care about my neighbor. We need a miracle. 16 malnutrition clinics, many of them mobile, and all you can see is scraps of parts of them. Some of them are full buildings. But wherever they've been destroyed, most of them in southern Sudan, but others in other places because of tragedies. So we've got right at a $400,000 need. So I've said, God, there are 400 people watching a day who could possibly give $1,000. Please touch their heart and make them joyfully able to give it, cheerful in it. Could you give $1,000? Is it possible you could give a clinic? You've been so blessed by God, trusted by God, and where your heart is, that's where you put your treasure. And so what you're overseeing, would you put it in building a clinic? The entire $24,000 plus, would you do it? And then, Betty, if everybody watching would just take the simple math, $30, $50, $100 for the next months, we're able to feed 3, 5, or 10 children. The fact that it's remained that over these years is a miracle, Betty. And what you prayed, now about going back toward 30 years ago, God, please let the line to feed these children be longer than the line to be fed. Okay, could you give 100 and feed 10, 50 and feed 5, 30 and feed 3? Please do it right now. Go online or dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. Thank you so much for doing it. If you made it in, call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Thank you for doing that.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. The urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle, featuring an instrumental music CD with 12 classic hymns and a 31-day prayer booklet to help renew your soul. With your gift of $100 or more, request the No Greater Love frame print. This portrait is a reminder of our Savior's love and the price that was paid for our salvation. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Yeah, Father, I feel like your family's going to help. I got a smile on my face because, you know, we've been through this pandemic. It's not over. I mean, we're still in a battle. Always going to have an enemy assault. It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle. It's Well With My Soul. And here are the hymns. And boy, they ask us, okay, here are the hymns we think everybody just love. They're really comforting. Boy, do bet. They said, we like it. We give you a thumbs up. Go for it. So here's the beautiful CD and the It Is Well bundle. It'll bless you. And those little devotional thoughts. Thanks so much for making it better for somebody else. And thank you so much for watching Life Today and sharing Life Today.
Oh, you can't hear me cry. See my dreams all die from where you're standing on your own. It's so quiet here and I feel so cold. This house no longer feels like home.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family. Do not put off this important step to peace of mind. Contact Life Planning Services today. Sheila Walsh shares her personal experiences to encourage us all to pray with persistence because God is present and listening. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.